the big news today that I am joined by Harley Bodrug, host, or I guess, you know, as we all know from Plant U, and author of the new book, Scrappy Cooking. Carly, it is such an honor to have you on. I'm pumped. We've done like 350 of these shows or something, and this is the most nervous I've ever been for one.
Oh my god! Congratulations. I'm nervous.
I know, isn't it funny? You know, because I'm out of the rhythm of the frantic book tour thing. I mean, you must have been doing what, dozens of these things already?
Oh yeah, dozens of them, and I do get nervous before every single one. And this is my first time ever going live on YouTube, and then like my first time ever going live on my channel. So it's a whole new thing. But this is awesome.
Well, we will see how it works. And you said you just finished with Will B, is that right?
So Dr. Will Bolswitz on the Gut Health MD on Instagram. I just did a live with him, which was super fun. We talked all things Scrappy, and now I'm here with you. So it's a good start to the day, I'd say.
Very good. Yeah, definitely. Cool. All right. So who else? I mean, last time, didn't you get on like Rachel Ray last time or
yes.
other victims yes. like that?
So Rachel Ray, I was on for my first book 2 years ago, but she doesn't have a show anymore. It got canceled or not canceled or ended or whatever else. It looks like she's going to start another one, but I was just on the Sherry show in New York for Scrappy. And then I have a bunch of things coming up in 2 weeks. I'm flying out to LA and then New York. So I don't even want to jinx them. So I'm not going to say what it is, but I do have more TV coming out. So that's super exciting.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So Pepe's Morning Show isn't the number one topic.
Oh, it is the number one as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, good. All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Very excited about the book. I am traveling, and I forgot to bring the book. So all I have is my mom's house, and she has the original Plant U. So I don't have the Scrappy Cooking in front of me, but you have graciously sent me the PDF. But it's a great book. We've been using it already. We've made a bunch of stuff. We made the pantry bean salad. And it saved us. And I'll get to that question later about what we can do on these crazy weeknights when we need to cook food ahead of time or figure something out because the kids are at soccer and we just have no time to do anything like cooking. So we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, it's a fantastic book. If you haven't already gotten a copy, go get that. I guess wherever, Amazon, independent stores, Barnes & Noble, anywhere books are sold. Is there, you got a preferred place or just whatever? I guess you can't pick favorites, right?
I can't pick favorites, but I mean local bookstores for sure, just because I think they need our support more than ever, especially after COVID. But I mean, it is on Amazon. It's on sale right now at Amazon and Target. It's 30% off. Maybe your local bookstore will honor that, but it's awesome to see it drop on the sale. And what a lot of people don't realize is like authors do not know when their books are going on sale. I like to say it's like if you're a fashion designer and you've designed a piece of clothing and now it's getting sold at like Zara or something. You don't have control once it gets out into the world, and you don't know when it's going to go on sale or anything. So it's pretty cool because it went on sale right the day before the book came out, which is awesome. I'm thrilled that it's on sale, but I don't know how long it will last. So if you're wanting to get a copy, I think now is a really awesome time. We additionally have a whole suite of freebies that you can take advantage of. So over $200 in digital freebies, including we did this amazing vegan cheese making ebook, a snack ebook, a meal plan, all of this fun stuff. So after you purchase, make sure to go to scrappycookbook.com and then upload an image of your receipt, and you will be able to claim all those freebies.
Very good. Very nice. All right. Good. Yeah, I remember with the plant-based athlete, we like got surprised on, it must have been Thursday or Friday morning, and we found out that something was on sale and like some huge discount. We're like, this is the perfect thing that we need right now. Because now we can email the list and say, discount, we don't know how long it's going to last, so go get it. So that is exactly the situation. You should get this book now while it's on sale. And you won't regret it. We'll get into it in a minute, but it's fantastic. There's so many good things in it. Like, it's not just recipes. There's all these different staples of things. Like, you could say, this is my whole food philosophy now. Like, we're just going to cook this way. And you save a bunch of money. You cut down on all the food waste. And I think you save a lot of time, too.
So if you have the first book, I mean, this one is a lot thicker. People keep going on about how substantial it is. It has over 150 recipes, and it's really, it's a build off of my first book. Like, the recipes are simplistic, the whole food plant-based, almost entirely oil-free. There's a few recipes with oil, gluten-free optional, nut-free optional. So it really should appease just about anybody who's interested in eating a whole food plant-based diet, while also saving you money because of the zero waste slant.
And even banana peel optional. You don't have to use banana peel. There's an alternate. You could use
mushrooms. So I said mushrooms.
Yeah. I was asking my daughter, she's with me on this trip today. And I said, what things have we made from scrappy cooking that I can write down and mention? And she said, oh, we did the banana peel, but there's an alternate. You don't have to use those. You can use mushrooms. So anyway, you thought of everybody, even the non-banana peel eaters. So hello to everyone who's here live. A bunch of our regulars here and they're commenting. It's awesome. It's like a totally different format now than our usual software. So I'm glad it's working. Good morning, Mr. Jeffrey, fellow Canadian, all the time attendee of our show. He's excited. Britter, Sarah Slemp, Bailey, Zane, Leisha, Rocky Guano, that's Doug, normal co-host of this daily show. Kate, a.k.a. Rivercat, Danielle P., Phyllis Hauser, X and X, that's a new one to me. But here we go. That's a bunch of people here. So hello, thank you all for attending. All right, as you kind of know, Harley, we do this weather report thing. This is a 4 times a week show. We do the weather report where we run down the latest headlines in the plant-based world and all kinds of hot takes flying around. So you got to give me your best stuff here.
Oh, I'm excited for this.
This is when we offend people. It's like there's no holds barred. This is the time to be, polarized. Make up opinions if you need to. That's what I do.
Yeah.
All right, Travis Kelce. Travis, of course, everyone knows him. Boyfriend of Taylor Swift. Are they engaged yet or anything, or just still boyfriend?
They're still dating. I follow it very closely.
You too.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you did. That's good. Are you a Swiftie?
I'm a huge Swiftie.
Oh yeah?
Huge Swiftie.
You're the biggest.
I love it all, and I watched the football game. It got me into football this year. I watched the Super Bowl. And that was one of the best days of my year so far.
Wow. Okay.
It was so good. And yeah, I'm going to a concert in Toronto in the fall. So I'm very
excited. Oh yeah? Are you getting some kind of like VIP treatment?
No.
Did you put that in your ticket basket?
They were hard earned tickets, actually. Like, it was a whole navigation process through like my friend's cousin got tickets, and we had to like smooth her to get some of her tickets, but we got them. So I am going and I'm so excited.
Good. All right. Good for you. All right. Anyway, the story is he and his brother Jason have a podcast, I guess. It's called New Heights Podcast. They had Arnold Schwarzenegger on. And during an episode, Travis admitted that he tried a vegan diet. He tried it for about a week, inspired by his brother Jason, who's done it apparently for a while. His quote was, Jason does a lot of, what is it? You're vegan? Like, he didn't really know, I guess, what it was. But he had tried it for a week. He said, couldn't do it. Needed way more protein than just the beans. But at least he's doing it. In the same episode, Arnold Schwarzenegger said he's cut down his meat by 70%, inspired by James Cameron. And the brother Jason apparently is doing it as a weight loss thing. He's retired from football and says he's trying to lose 2 pounds a week, maintain muscle mass, and what he's doing is mostly vegan. So that's pretty good, right? Not as good as the guy sticking with it not as good as if Travis Kelce went vegan. But
this is awesome. This is the first I've heard of this. I think even the fact that they had Arnold on there and they're talking about a vegan diet is just a great thing.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can win them over in time.
I hope so. Do you know this podcast? Have you ever heard of this thing?
Oh, New Heights. I see the clips on it on TikTok all the time.
Okay.
All about yeah, I know about it. I haven't listened though.
All right, you're plugged in, more plugged in than I am. So I'm glad I was able to teach you something that he is trying to be back. All right. Next up today, there's an Australian company called Vow. They made the mammoth meatball. Do you remember that thing? They brought back woolly mammoth gene somehow.
I do remember this. Yes.
It was a goofy kind of stunt, but it was cultivated. It was like a cultivated meatball. It wasn't, no animals harmed or anything. They've now they're the fourth company in the world to get approval for a cultivated meat product. In this case, it's quail. They're making quail. It's approved in Singapore, and it's a rare Japanese quail. They somehow take cells from it. I don't know if they come from a feather or what they have to do to get them, but it's grown without the animal derived serum and antibiotics. So slaughter free. It's you can't really call it vegan, but very good for animals for this sort of thing to happen. So anyway, that's because, and also at the same time, there's a new life cycle analysis from a startup called Supermeat that has determined that their cultivated chicken is 47% friendlier to the environment in terms of carbon emissions than land animal protein, and it was done with an independent research consultancy. So no conspiracies here. I'm curious, probably. I doubt you get into this stuff ever, but. Are you at all excited about the cultivated meat thing? Like, would you do this, or would you say, nope, this vegan, I'm not even getting involved in animal cells?
I think it is such an awesome prospect for the future of animals. Like, this really has the potential to eliminate factory farming, which is really such a source of horrible cruelty in our world, and a lot of the reason that many of us are vegan. However, I have no desire to eat meat at this point. I think a whole food plant-based diet is the best for our health and longevity. And I worry what the repercussions of that will be, whether people will actually be consuming more animal products if that type of meat becomes mainstream. However, the animals, like, it could be a huge thing. What about you?
I'm very similar to you. I'm worried about the health part of it. I wouldn't want to become like an all the time meat eater, but I think I would try it. Like, there's some company that does it with pork, and they grow it in 4 days from like cell to sausage, they said. And that, we're like, that's kind of scary that it can happen that quickly. So aside from, you know, whatever health issue there might be with just regular meat, I just wonder, like, what else gets introduced when you grow something that fast? It just skip. But
yeah,
I'm very curious. I'm definitely pro cultivated meat, and like you, I think it has potential to be a massive, massive change. But you know, just like the Beyond and Impossibles and stuff like that, like, it kind of might over time erode the healthfulness of a plant based diet, because it's not even plant based anymore. So
yeah, but I guess, like, instead of eating Beyond Meat or whatever, which obviously is very processed, then you would probably be opting for, like, we eat that stuff in our family, like, maybe once or twice a month. It'll be like, okay, we're going to a barbecue, I'm going to pick up a Beyond Burger to go on the barbecue or whatever else. So I wonder if then you would replace it with the...
Right.
Or would it get carried away because the cruelty is no longer tied to the product. It's so hard to say. I have to think it's net beneficial. And then also there's this whole conversation about, like, the hormones used in meat and the antibiotics used in farm animals and how that's creating antibiotic resistance for people who consume animal products. I have to think a lot of that would be eliminated if the meat is grown in a lab.
Exactly. And like heavy metals in the seafood, like, all that stuff gets taken care of. So it's something that becomes a much healthier choice. So I don't know. It'll be very interesting. I'm glad it's happening. And obviously we're going to stay on top of that. That's where we get a lot of controversy in this story. So can't let that go. All right. You mentioned cruelty a few minutes ago. I didn't know this. This is new to me and sad. PETA is now calling on all retailers, including Whole Foods, to stop selling any Thai coconut milk products. It's not a brand. That's coconut milk products from Thailand, because PETA did an investigation and they found that there's
the monkey
use of monkeys. I had, like, never heard this in I've been vegan for about 13, 14 years now. It never occurred to me that, like, maybe I shouldn't choose coconut milk products because animals are abused in the process, or at least get them from Sri Lanka, which is where Co-op in the UK does for their store brand. So I guess as long as you know it's from Sri Lanka, then you're good. But this is now on my radar. Did you know this?
I did. I have heard of this, and I make an effort to buy a certain brand. I feel like it's CHA, Cha or something, Chow, which I heard was okay for the monkeys, but maybe not. Now that you say that, if they're trying to ban all ones in Thailand, I'm a little bit worried about the ones that I've been buying. But I do eat, I love coconut-based curries and sauces, even though I know sometimes they're not the healthiest. So we go through quite a bit of coconut milk in this house. I'm going to have to look into the brand I buy. It's from Costco, and it's like organic Cha or something. I don't know if anyone in the comments knows what I'm talking about, but I thought the monkeys, I have heard of this before.
All right, good. Well, news to me, so I will definitely be careful with this, because that is important. I don't care that much about where my coffee comes from and all that. As long as I probably shouldn't do it. Somehow when it's in animals that are getting abused, I feel worse than when it's people who are just being treated unfairly. That's probably a bad take. I probably should reverse that stance and say people are being treated unfairly just as bad as animals. So I'll take that one back.
What I like to say, and it's when it's all tied to the conversation of veganism, it's like, unfortunately, there's no food that's not tied to some form of cruelty. So, like, even when people get on, like, a high horse about being, like, a very pure vegan, and I'm like, well, like, where did your avocados or your coconut milk come from? Mm-hmm. It's just impossible. So you have to do the best you can, which I think is just basically what you're saying. Like, now that we know about the coconut milk, you know, what can you do?
Exactly. you can make a little better choice. And that's right. The whole definition of veganism is about trying your hardest, or as much as it's practical or whatever, reasonable. So yeah, you got to draw a line somewhere, and it's up to everybody where you do that. All right. Bird flu is back. This is not good because it's bad for eggs, I guess, and it raises the egg prices, which means maybe a lot more mainstreamers will start using vegan eggs. Carly, what is the best vegan egg? First of all, do you have like a scrappy egg that you do, like your own egg?
Yeah, so I have an omelet in here that's made with chickpea flour, which is really great, like if you're looking for an omelet substitute. But my favorite that I probably make every other week or so is just like a tofu scramble. And uh-huh. I find this definitely gets any egg craving out there. So you just scramble up tofu, the recipes in my first book, with black salt, turmeric, scramble it up, serve it with whatever veggies you want, and it's delicious. And that black salt, like that sulfur taste, really emulates egg for some reason. I can't for some reason, the thought of eating a regular egg now, like scrambled eggs, is really like stomach churning. I don't know why that is, but
yeah, I think that, I mean, I don't know. Even the black salt meat, I smell that stuff too strongly. I mean, it's that sulfur smell. So I'm with you on that one. I never really liked eggs that much to begin with. But so you don't do like a just egg or any of the chickpea?
No, I don't really buy it. It's very expensive. Just egg is very expensive. And then I find like it's like one bottle and you get like maybe enough for two people. So it just seems a bit nonsensical sometimes to me. And then I don't know how good it is for you, like a lot of oil and whatever else in there. But I think it's great. Like it's certainly an egg substitute. Like it certainly tastes like egg.
Yep. Our co-host Doug uses it all the time. I'm like not an egg craver. So I just, like you, do the tofu scramble sometimes. But otherwise, don't really dabble in the plant-based egg. All right. And last up, before we get to scrappy cooking, Billie Eilish, vegan, of course, and a bunch of other songwriter, musicians, pop stars, Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, Kacey Musgraves, and many more, have written an open letter about AI and how it's bad and how it could potentially ruin musicians' livelihood. They said this assault on human creativity must be stopped, and they're asking for people to tech companies to pledge to make AI tools that do not undermine or replace the human artistry of songwriters. So that sounds like a big ask to me, and one that's not going to do anything at all. Are you, Carly, worried about the AI recipe makers or social media stars replacing you?
Not really, but I do think it's like it is concerning. I feel like there was that whole Taylor Swift controversy where there was like AI generated like provocative photos of her that looked very real that came out, and then she slammed them down. So I worry about if it's being used for like negative means, and I do worry about it replacing jobs. I mean, I think that it very quickly is going to write better and more effectively than most human beings. So where does that put authors? And I mean, it's great as a tool. Like, it's great as a prompt tool. I'll use ChatGPT sometimes if I can't think of, like, oh, like, I really need help starting a script for, like, a recipe video. But then if it goes farther than that, I'm a bit concerned. How about you?
Yeah. I don't know. What, I mean, yeah, like, it's going to get better than humans at a whole lot of things. The big question for me is, like, will it replace the human, just the human, right? Like one day there will be an AI that can make good scrappy cooking recipes. Mm-hmm. Right? It knows how to use pineapple skins just as well as Carly can. But can it go and charm and be a person the way Carly can on Instagram? So I don't know about that. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they're right to be concerned. But these people, they're already, I think they're okay. I think they'll be okay either way. Billie Eilish, Katy Perry, Nicki Minaj, Kate Smith.
Yeah, they'll surely be fine.
Yes, they do. All right, good. So there's your weather report. No main article today because we've got such special guest. It is Carly. So let's dive into scrappy cooking a little bit. I mean, this is awesome. You mentioned this. I think you mentioned this when you were on our Nobody Athletes show, like right as Planet E was coming out, maybe. And I was asking you about something. And somehow you said these scrappy cooking videos are what's just killing it on Instagram right now. And I don't think you knew at that point that was going to be the next book, but it did. So like, were you always into the food waste reduction thing and this, like, you know, cooking in this scrappy manner, cooking scrappily, or did it kind of just happen, like you got this viral vid and you're like, this is a massive opportunity, I need to start making more of these things, and then led to this?
Yeah, a bit of both, I would say. I definitely grew up in a home with parents who were, like, naturally scrappy, like, embodied that kind of scrappy, using everything, saving leftovers. My dad yesterday went over to his house and he was marinating potato peels and pickle juice and cooking them up. So, like, there was some sense of that, but not in such a literal sense. And it really wasn't until probably I was publishing my first book where I heard a statistic that shocked me, which was that 30 to 40% of all food in the U.S. ends up in landfills. And really, the shocking part came from that the prices of groceries in Canada are just unbelievable. Like, it is so expensive. And if we're throwing away so much food, because the largest percent of food waste, people hate to hear this, but it's in consumer homes. We waste more than restaurants and grocery stores. And it makes sense because we're not having to call to, like, a bottom line, right? So that was very shocking to me. And then I learned about the environmental aspect. And that's that when food ends up in landfills, which it inevitably does, it makes up the largest component of U.S. landfills and it emits methane gas, which is terrible for our environment. And to put this into perspective, food waste contributes more emissions than the airline industry, which I feel like when we're talking about climate change and the environment, transportation often dominates this conversation, whereas we really should be talking about the food on our plate. So knowing this, I was like, what the heck? Why is no one talking about this? So I threw up an orange peel candy recipe one day, walked away from my phone. I had called it scrappy cooking, not thinking much of it, and came back and people had gone crazy over it, and millions of views, so many people commenting. And I thought, oh, light bulb moment, this is something that people care about, this scrappy cooking idea, which is very literal in my videos of, like, we talked about kind of banana peel bacon, is a great facilitation for conversations about reducing food waste. So it became obvious quite quickly after starting those videos that this would be a great subject for my second book. And truly, when I wrote it, there was a lot of times that I thought, oh man, maybe this was a mistake. I don't know if people are going to resonate with it. Those fears have definitely been tampered this week because I've seen such a great response. But it's really cool because the one thing I like to tell people about the book is it isn't literal in the sense where we're making banana peel and bacon. There are recipes like that. There's probably about maybe 20 of the over 150 recipes. But I really wanted a cookbook where people could interchange the vegetables and produce in their pantry and to empower people how to cook with plants. Because I think that is the key to reducing food waste. It's being able to cook and being able to be confident enough to be like, okay, I don't have a butternut squash, but I have a sweet potato here. I'm going to change that. So the recipes are really built around this concept of, like, make this base and then use whatever vegetable you have on hand. I make recommendations based on what I use in the recipe development, but then I also include substitutions. So my goal is to help people learn to cook and then to help people just use up the vegetables that they bought well-intentioned.
Yeah, I think that surprised me a lot about the book. I don't know why I was expecting that it would be, like, all, like, literal scrappy cooking recipes. Of course it would, right? No one needs 150 of those, probably. But like what I said, it's, like, so impressive that it's, like, this system, though, just it makes so many staples and things. And sometimes using the scraps, like the apple scrap vinegar and the apple scrap honey, like, you can make stuff from the scraps that maybe aren't entirely based on the scraps. But I think the fact that it's, like, a big money-saving, waste-saving kind of system way of cooking, that's what's so impressive. I think that's why certainly it will strike a chord.
Yeah, I really didn't, like, it, my first book was I was so surprised how many people cook out of it. And then when I started doing in-person events, I'd have people come up to me and say, I've been cooking out of your book. I'm off type 2 diabetes medication. It's really impacted my life. And I mean, I did not want to lose that with this book. Right. Like, I wanted them to be really healthy, nourishing, whole food, plant-based, delicious recipes, while also addressing this concern. Like, we have a whole pasta chapter. Like, there is truly something for everyone. So I'm glad. I'm sure you were pleasantly surprised that it wasn't just...
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah. Although we do the scrap thing, like it, right now in my refrigerator at home is a stack of corn tabs, like the peels. Because Ellery, my daughter, she saved notes for doing the orange peel thing.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, she's a super fan. Anyway, so I'm curious, like, how did you learn this stuff, especially the stuff that is about the literal scrappy things? Like, once you made the orange peel thing, like, how did you then figure out that you could make banana peel bacon or pineapple skin tea? Like, did you have to, like, do a bunch of research and start, like, becoming the expert on that stuff?
Yeah, exactly. So basically, it would start by, like, buying something from the grocery store. So you buy a pineapple and you're like, okay, I'm throwing out half this pineapple. Like, what can I do with it? So my first step always when I'm doing a scrap is I got to Google whether it's edible, because I do not want to make myself sick or somebody else. And then I'll start like researching history of recipes. Like oftentimes there's historical recipes. Like I know pineapple skin tea originated in Jamaica, which is referenced in the book. So then just having fun with it and then experimenting and building on it. There's more fun you can have with things like, I don't know, radish tops, which very obviously in my mind you can eat. But then it's like, okay, well, what can I do with radish tops? Can I replace them with the basil in a pesto recipe? Can I make chips out of them, like kale chips? So once I know I can eat something, then the fun really starts. And all of the recipes I wanted to mention, people love this from my original book, but they include all of the ingredients on top and then the finished dish below. And I also have, which people are loving, this Have This, Make That index at the beginning of the book. So this really ties into this concept of reducing waste from the ground up. And it's like, okay, bread, the most commonly wasted food in the world, you can just flip to this index and be like, okay, I have some bread that's getting a little bit hard. Here are five different recipes where I can use that scrap up or that ingredient up in the book. So I tried to make it as really practical as possible.
Yeah, I noticed that in the digital copy I was looking at, that I saw that it's sorted by, if you want to, you can sort by ingredients. You can say, how do I use this? How do I use it up? You mentioned the bread thing as being the most wasted food in the world. That was news to me. And also, that's like perfect example of all the historical things, because like you've got a panzanella salad in there. And do you have like a breadcrumbs as kind of instead of Parmesan cheese on top of pasta deal?
Yeah, I have breadcrumbs. I have a breadcrumb recipe in this, and then it's used throughout the book. Or you can use store-bought breadcrumbs. Like, everything's basically made from scratch in the book. I'll be like, okay, there's sun-dried tomatoes in this Tuscan gnocchi recipe. You can buy them, or you can make them.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, like, scratch things, because I think it's fun. Like, I fell so in love with scrappy cooking and this idea that, wow, I can make sun-dried tomatoes at home. I can make beet powder at home. Like, it's really fun, right? If you have the time. And if you don't, there's a lot of quick and easy recipes in here as well.
Exactly. That's what I meant by the system idea. Like, we made, like I said, the pantry bean salad the other day that used sun-dried tomatoes. And I saw it, and like, I could make my own if I wanted to go to that level. And if my time wasn't my concern right now, it was more about, I want to be totally waste-free or totally homemade, whatever. You can do that. So that is awesome. Fantastic. Mr. Jeffrey here, a fellow Canadian, points out that this book concept would make a really good app too. Is that already in the works? Must be, right?
No. Oh my gosh. As you, I'm sure, know, apps are like such a beast, way beyond a book. So no plans for an app with this concept now, but you never know. Never say never.
Yeah, you're going to get some app people emailing you after 2 weeks from now, whatever's happening then. You're going to get some app requests like that. Juliana Arriaga, our designer, says she loves the concept and loves the cover. So that is high praise from an excellent designer. And let's see. Bailey Zane Branding said, my book just got delivered, ran out mid-pod, and snagged it. So
look at that.
Social proof. Someone else is buying the book. So there we go.
The cover was shot by this amazing photographer named Linda Pugliese, and she shot Martha Stewart before. So that was really cool. But I came up with this concept. I'm like, I want to be sitting across from a table and have people like sitting across from me and like just make it fully scrappy. And then we also did this shot, which I wanted to be the cover of the book, but my publisher was not so hot on it. But to me, this looks like the start of like a horror film, and I'm like, this is perfect. But they thought the legs and the feet on the food might not go over as well, so I got it right inside the cover.
I've heard people say that like dismembered appendages are not not great hits on stinks. So that makes sense. And the Nomidathic cookbook, there's just a torso and there's no head, and maybe the arms are missing or the leg, like it's just the torso. And eventually they actually thought it was my body. They put in some.
I thought it was your body. It's
no,
not.
No. I was
who shot that then?
It was just a stock photo. I don't know. I mean, they did, even the food on the front of it is like a stock, but you can tell they at least photoshopped in stuff.
I had no idea. I thought it was you.
No, I
love that. I love for you. Like that book is so popular.
That one, yeah. And that's been I'd say that as far as like just consistent sales.
Consistent sales. People love it. Yeah. Yep. I mean, whoever did the cover, like it was brilliant.
It was. I really enjoyed that cover. And like I said, even though it violates the appendage rule, I guess in reverse, it turned out great.
That's so funny.
There you go. All right. Last question here, Carly, and then we'll just talk about, here's my dinner prop. My kids are both really serious about soccer. They're excellent players, which is fun, but we are just the parents who are constantly doing soccer driving. They each train 4 nights a week. So like there's one night a week, maybe, that we can all sit down and say, hey, we cooked a dinner. Now we're going to eat it all. What do we do? Like, because I don't even eat that healthily anymore sometimes, because I feel like all the time we're on the run. So we're just eating Whole Foods, you know, homemade pizza things, where you buy a crust and you put the sauce on and then do vegan sprinkle on top. But like, it's a lot of that. So like I said, we did the pantry bean salad the other day because I was ahead of things and I made it during the day. We had it at night on toast or on sourdough that my wife made. So like that worked. But what do you got? What's
this is a Rock Your Brock mac and cheese. So this is a one pot mac and cheese recipe that's vegan, obviously. And you grate carrot and broccoli into it. And it comes together in 15 minutes, 20 to 15, 15 to 20 minutes. And it's one pot, so limited mess. If I was like making a meal to feed a crowd and kids at night, that's probably what I would make. Tons of bowls as well. I've got this great nutty noodle bowl. Again, it's going to be really easy. It's just cooking some rice vermicelli noodles, vermicelli, vermicelli, not sure how to pronounce. And then grating up whatever veg you have in the fridge and making a quick peanut sauce.
Nice. Okay.
Need a good one. Feed the kids. Cheap pan tacos I've got in here. I'm looking for ease.
Tacos is good. Tacos works. We've done that before.
I've got these great tacos. And again, they have like a separate carrot top chimichurri, which you don't have to make, but you could just buy chimichurri. Or you could just use like whatever sauce. But these are sheet pan tacos. So you just literally throw all your vegetables onto a sheet pan, toss them in some spices, and then they're ready to go. And again, I would probably use a store-bought sauce. That's the beauty about this cookbook. Like you can kind of take it. There's a pizza, kind of what you were talking about.
Yeah.
You can kind of take it as far as you want in terms of how crazy you want to go making everything from scratch. But I'll be the first to admit, like, we're huge fans of like Caesar salads in this house. So, and probably not traditional Caesars by any means, but I'll like grill up some tofu and then I'll just use like a store-bought Caesar dressing and I'll add like a bunch of seeds to it, chop up some romaine and it's done in like 20 minutes. But I'm not making my own salad dressing like every time I'm cooking. It depends on the night.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that. Like how deep do you go into this day-to-day at home cooking? Like how can you...
I cook out of the book often, but I find, so I have a whole section on homemade salad dressings and one of them is a great hummus Caesar, but I find oftentimes I'll just use a store-bought. Like, it's like, it's as far as you want to take it. I think if it also depends on what stage of life you're in. I think if you have health concerns, that's when you have to start really like digging deep, but hopefully you can avoid those to begin with by eating a semi-healthy whole food plant-based diet, you know?
Yeah.
But like not it. Perfect. I'm not perfect.
No, I bet you are. All right. Gail Fan says she just added to her Amazon cart. Mr. Jeffy points out that Doug clicked by as soon as he heard tacos because Doug just eats, it's all he eats. You know, tacos and burritos is his whole diet. Kate says maybe Matt will make bowls again. I don't know what that's referencing to. Probably some goofy thing I did the bowls before. And I saw another one, but no. Anyway, last one, Carly. What's been the very most, like, of all the scrappy cooking recipes that you've done on Instagram, TikTok, I guess, like, what's the one that has just been the most successful, most viral?
Yeah, I think it's probably, and I'll find the recipe, I put it in here, and I added this last minute after the recipe went so viral on social media, and my publisher was like, we can't do this, and I said, we have to. So it's the scrap matcha. So this is a kind of twist on a scarpaccia recipe, which is like a traditional Mediterranean zucchini tart. It's so delicious. I'm not even a huge fan of zucchini, but it's so easy. You just like add cornmeal and flour and dried rosemary to a bowl, and then you drain your zucchini and add that zucchini water, the zucchini and red onion, mix it up into a batter, and then bake it, and it makes this like great flatbread. And I just reposted the video. It went super viral the first time I posted it.
Wow.
And it's good.
I'm shocked that that's the most, I mean, it's great. It looks fantastic. I just thought people kind of hate zucchini in general and like, or not.
I think it was, I used the drained zucchini water. So like you drain out the water and then you use that in the batter. Another one is like a peanut butter jar noodle dish. So shaking the peanut butter jar, which I showed you the nutty noodle salad there. Mm-hmm. Very popular. Trying to think of anything like very scrap-alicious. The ones that are more practical people make, right? Yeah, like,
sure.
So that's probably why.
We do both my kids do the dressing out of the mustard.
Yes.
That is a Carly contribution in my house now. We've also done I made the Death by Chocolate pancakes already. We've got cabbage steaks. As I said, we've got the orange peels and the fresh, and the dill pickle chips. That is the one that as soon as we get home, we're going to make, because the kids have been asking about that for months, really. All right. Well, Carly, this is awesome. I'm seriously how excited I am about this book. I love the fact that this, honestly, that it can save so much money if you do it right. And as much time as you're willing to put in, you can save that much money and you can reduce that much waste. But that it's so flexible like that. I think it's fantastic. We didn't even mention the whole time, like, we're just talking about eating whole plants here. This is super healthy food. And, you know, you can do it quickly, you can do it cheaply, you can do it not very wastefully, and it's all fantastic. So thank you so much for your work and this book, for joining us on the show. It's been great. I think people really enjoyed having you here, and we'll get this out to our podcast audience and email people about it tomorrow.
Awesome.
Spread the word far and wide.
Do you think I can post this on my YouTube?
Of course you can. If you have a way to do that, I'd be
okay. Let's see when I exit if it allows me to like post it out.
Yeah, and we'll if it see. Doesn't, then let me know.
Okay, cool.
Whatever we need to do to make that happen, because obviously that would be great for us too.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, best of luck with everything else with the rest of this frantic, crazy week. I know how it is, and it's fine. I took a picture of my desk when I did this. I hope you do the same thing to remember this. The desk was covered in stuff. It was this day. It was every half hour there's a new one of these shows, and I'm sure for you it's many times that much right now. So good luck. Have fun.
Thank you so much. Gratitude, Matt. Have a great day.
All right. Keep going.